after the Sabbath, at the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for an angel of the Lord came down from heaven and, going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus, who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the women hurried away from the tomb, afraid, yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me."
Let no one go away from this day hungry. Come all and drink from the cup of life. Let no one fear death, for by the death of Jesus, we are set free. Hell is in an uproar today, for it is mocked. It is in an uproar, for it has been defeated. It is in an uproar, for it has been made captive. Hell took a body and discovered God. Hell took earth and encountered heaven. It took what it saw and was overcome by what it did not see. Death, where is your sting? Hell, where is your victory? Christ is risen, and the tomb is empty. Christ is risen, and the evil one has been cast down. Christ is risen, and death is defeated. Christ is risen, and the angels are rejoicing. Christ is risen, and life is liberated. The sign of suffering and death has been forever changed into a sign of life. Now, to God be the glory. To God be all honor. And to Christ is all power. Forever and ever. Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we come to you as people who are redeemed. We know that because we've chosen to believe that the resurrection occurred. Father, as we live and breathe, help us understand the difference between existing and the way you intend us to have life. Because you bring the life that is the only life worth living, fully surrendered, desiring your ways over our own. Father, help us as individuals, separate but yet part of a large family, to take our belief as serious as you meant it when you died for it. This is my prayer.
Father Jesus, as we come together to celebrate this restoration, we said thank you for making us Christian believe that we have something to hope for. As we in North Lake family come together to celebrate this day, we want to say thank you for your love. Thank you for your care. Thank you for making us to be who we are, regardless of our color and race. Thank you for your love and make our neighbor, our surrounding know that we are not just coming to serve a God, but we serve a God that is restored. Make them to know that we believe in something special, and that something is sharing your love, giving, and helping each other. In Jesus' name.
And our Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for the words of Jesus, where he said that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And so, Father, we ask that you unleash the power of the resurrection on our world, Lord. Where there is oppression, would you bring justice? Where there is war, would you bring peace? Where there is violence, would you bring kindness? Where there is hatred, would you bring love? Where there is poverty and sickness, would you bring hope and healing, Lord, in our world through the power of the resurrection that lives in each one of us? And Lord of the harvest, send more reapers. Lord, there are so many who do not know about the sacrifice that was made for them and the resurrection. And so would you send more workers into the harvest, Lord, that our world may come to know you, and that a great salvation will be ours someday. Lord, use us as lights in this dark world. And Father, we pray this through the name of the one who is risen from the dead, our brother, our Savior, our King, our Lord, Jesus Christ. And we all said, amen.
Beautiful day to be together. Beautiful day to be together. Before I talk about this weekend, I want to mention next weekend. The women's retreat is next weekend, and you can still sign up. There's a table in the gallery there. So, ladies, and if you haven't signed up for that, I hope you will. We will be here next weekend. It's a Friday night, Saturday thing. And so do stop by the table out there and get a little more information on that. Then next Sunday in worship, we're going to celebrate Jesus as the light to the nations, as Christy mentioned in her prayer. And she began to pray for us to be able to turn and to see how Christ sends us out into mission. The resurrected Jesus has work for us to do. We will celebrate Jesus as the light to the nations, and then we're going to follow that with an all-church potluck lunch. And as you can see, we'd like for you to, there's kind of two traditions that we've developed about that. One is wearing international dress. So wear dress from a country you've been to. I'll go to Lower Alabama and get some dress from there. I'll wear from there. But you can wear different kinds of international dress, and then bring something, maybe an international potluck meal, and we'll share that all together. It will be a really fantastic time together. Well, what a powerful weekend this has been. We had a walk of the Stations of the Cross in Clarkston on Friday night, and then the children hunting Easter eggs up here yesterday morning, and then yesterday afternoon our worship together as we remembered the promises of God to our brother Dave Holland, who we lost this week. We lost two of our brothers in Christ this week, Dave, and then just a few hours later, Bill Williams. So we needed this morning. We needed Easter morning. We needed to see this symbol of death transformed into a beautiful symbol of life. Only Christ can do that. We needed to enjoy the painting of the empty tomb right over here. done by one of our teenagers, Peyton Keith. So I hope you'll come up and inspect it more closely. It's beautiful. And we needed to hear this story all over again. We needed to be here. So I want to say thank you for being here with us today. If you're visiting, thank you for being here. If you're a member, thank you for being here. I know you probably, a lot of people change their schedules to make sure they're here together on Easter Day. But not everybody responds to the resurrection the same way. The women hurried from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said, and they came to him and embraced his feet and worshiped him. And then Jesus said to them, "Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me too." And while the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything that had happened. And the chief priests met with the elders, and they devised a plan. They gave the soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, "You're to say, 'His disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep.' And if this report gets to the governor, we'll satisfy him and keep you out of trouble." So the soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And when they saw him, they worshiped him. But some doubted. So after an earthquake and an angel that looked like a lightning bolt and guards shaking like dead leaves on a tree, I love the part where Jesus meets the women running away from whatever it was they thought they'd experienced there at the tomb, and he says, "Hi." It's just the common word for a greeting, just a common greeting. Hello, hi. In Georgia, it's hey, or hey, y'all. In Texas, it's howdy. In some places, what's up? It's what you'd say to your friends when you saw them. Hi. And this resurrection story in each one of the Gospels has this mixture of the otherworldly and just the ordinary. The heavenly and the humdrum. It's striking. The tomb is empty, but none of the four Gospels speculates on how exactly that happened. You notice nobody describes the angel coming into the tomb, filling it with light, shaking Jesus by the shoulder, helping him sit up, pulling off the grave clothes. Now, if I was making this story up, this is too good of an opportunity to pass up. A great storyteller could take that and spin stories all day long. But not Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Evidently, they don't know, so they don't hypothesize. You also wouldn't make up a story like this and have it come from women. Now, don't kill the messenger here, but women were not seen as trustworthy witnesses in that culture. By men, of course, right? The ones who were writing the laws and writing the history. What the women might have thought about it would have been a little different, I can imagine. But by the conventions of that day, it would do more to hurt your case than to help it if you relied on the testimony of a woman. Evidently, God does not care about their prejudices. All four Gospels, with all their variety of detail, are in perfect agreement on this. The first to see the empty tomb, and the first to hear the news that Jesus has been raised from the dead, are women. Women are the last with Jesus at the cross and the first at Jesus' tomb. I don't think they would make that up. I also have to wonder if one of the reasons is if Jesus couldn't wait to tell his mother, "It's okay, it's me." Maybe people who can give birth to people from their own bodies are the best ones to imagine that God can produce life from death. The women respond to the resurrection in faith. In them we see joy overcoming fear. Now, other folks respond differently. The guards see what the women see, but they have a very different reaction. They went to the cemetery to guard a dead man, and they become like dead men themselves. Give me a mob of disciples with slingshots and spears, I'll fight them all day. But I didn't sign up for this stuff. Violence in the face of resurrection, not a very effective weapon. The guards go and they tell their story, just like the women go and tell the story. And maybe it's their fear that keeps them from being open to other possibilities. Well, the guards tell the religious leaders everything that happened. And of course, the guys upstairs always have a plan. They've always got a plan. They come up with a plan, and this plan has to do with money. And have you ever noticed how much money there is changing hands in this whole story of Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection? Judas takes a bribe for betraying Jesus, and then he gets seller's remorse, throws it back, right back at him. But then those people who are become such sticklers for the rules. Well, we can't do anything with this money. What are we going to? We'll buy a field. We'll do some philanthropy with it. You wouldn't want to do anything improper with this money. And now they pay off these soldiers to spread fake news about the disciples stealing the body while they were asleep. Now, how in the world would they know it was the disciples if they were asleep? And it's not much of a story. And they're ready to pay off the governor, too. We'll make this problem go away. Money. That's the answer to our problems. But the resurrection exposes all the feebleness, the frailty, the impotence of the power hungry. The resurrection reveals the true poverty of the greedy. The resurrection brings out in the open the schemes of the schemers. Resurrection divulges the truth. Liars won't be able to stand. All the ways of this world will ultimately be shown in the light of the resurrection to be, in God's world, useless. And I guess all those who rely on those ways will be useless in God's world. I think being useless might be the worst thing that I can imagine. Being told you're useless. What if all that you rely on is revealed as being bogus, futile, garbage? At some point, you either have to decide, I'm going to go another way, or maybe you just stop living. Well, the women were faithful. They told the rest of the disciples that Jesus had said, "Go to Galilee. There you'll see me." And they went. To their credit, the 11 disciples chose to trust the testimony of these women. Some of the old prejudices, the ways of the old world, are starting to crumble already. And can you imagine how those men felt when they heard what he called them? He's got almost the same message as the angels, but he adds one word there. He says, "Tell my brothers." Tell my brothers. Now, when he had needed them most, they had slept. When things got dangerous, they ran. When he'd endured all the old world had to do to him and could dish out on the cross, they hid. Brothers. Did they weep when they heard that word? Did their hearts leap in their chests? Could they swallow? I bet they sprinted all the way to Galilee. Brothers. Finally, they realize this is what it's all about. It's not about out-spiritualizing the Pharisees. It's not about overpowering the Romans. It's this complete and radical love and forgiveness and mercy that somehow endured through a cross and defeated death. And that's what brought Jesus from a tomb. And here, the kindest, most just, most loving human being who ever lived, and who most people in this world, even if they don't believe in him, believe that about him. He was the most just and loving human being who ever lived. And through those ways, he took down the old ways of this world with a cross. And now all his ways of life are vindicated. This is the important thing to realize about this cross and this resurrection. The resurrection is God's way of pointing at Jesus and saying, now, do you see? Do you see how I meant for you to live? Do you see what power there is in mercy and love and forgiveness? Live like that yourselves. That's my son who I love. Listen to him. Do you remember back in that very first story from this book that we talked about, when the angel said to Joseph, Jesus' earthly father, when he met him, he told him, don't be afraid. That's the first thing the angel said to the women at the tomb, too. Don't be afraid. Over and over again, followers of Jesus have heard this from Jesus, from angels in this story. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. It's just me walking on the water. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but they can't kill the soul. Don't be afraid when they heard the voice of God on the mountain. You have little faith with me here in this boat, in this storm. Why are you so afraid? Why are we so afraid? Even after the resurrection in Galilee, when they see him and they worship him, some still doubt. I don't know if that's that they are doubting that it's really him, or could it be that they're doubting whether they're going to be able to follow a fellow like this? Are there doubts in him, or are there doubts in themselves? Why are you so afraid? And in this story in Matthew, the seventh time you hear, don't be afraid, it's when Jesus says it, the resurrected Jesus, to the women as they move away from the tomb. So I think it's Matthew's way of saying, the resurrection now has brought this all to completion. The resurrection proves that if we go where Jesus leads, he'll take care of the doubts and the fears that we have in the end. And he obviously did it for these folks, because this little group who had scattered like chickens just a few nights before, these men and women who claim they saw Jesus raised from the dead, many will give their lives to tell this story and have brought this story to us. Would they die for what they knew was a lie? We have to ask ourselves that question. And I think part of our faith is built on what we believe about that and whether we feel that we can trust these people. Would they die for what they knew to be a lie? I think another part of our faith, though, is built on whether we perceive, as they did, the presence of Jesus in our own lives, because Jesus has promised to be with us to the end of this age that we are now in. And I think that there's another part of this. Part of our faith is also built on when we look at the life of Jesus and the life he lived, the things that he said, we must ask ourselves, isn't this the only life that really makes sense of the universe? Is this really the only way to live that makes sense? So our faith is kind of built on many things. We rely on different things at different times. This resurrection, the presence of Christ in our life, the truth that we perceive in his way of living. It's going to be 300 years after this event, before anybody gets anything but insults and danger and death out of believing it from this world, before anybody figured out a way to monetize it. Maybe when we consider whether we believe it, we don't really feel there's very much on the line anymore. There's no danger to it anymore. Or maybe, if you really do believe it and take following Jesus seriously, you know, maybe it still doesn't get you anything but grief and pain in this world. We still need the risen Jesus to meet us and to say, brothers and sisters, don't be afraid. So if you've heard the voice of Jesus calling you this morning, I ask, let him help you overcome your fear. Step out in faith and follow him this morning. And if you would, come as we stand and sing.